and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Hi, Jennifer. Good to be with you again, as always.
It is always great to have you here. It is fall.
Mm.
It is the start of a new school year.
That means in Texas, there'll be a day where all the leaves will turn colors
and then fall off and die.
Fall off,
and that is fall, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Ed, it seems like a good time as we transition out of summer and into the start of a new school year to talk about something that we don't focus a lot on, but when you think about it, it really impacts education a lot, and that's the actual academic year calendar. We sort of have this tradition of semesters.
There's
fall semester, mm-hmm. there's spring semester, folks who go to summer school, there's summer semester.
Right.
It's always been sort of rigidly divided that way. Why do we divide the year that way?
Well, historically, it was because, you know, we needed to have these students go back to the farms over the summer to work in their, you know, in the family farms, basically. And so it was, when we were agriculturally driven, it was really a necessity to have as many hands on deck as possible. Now, of course, that has changed. But the tradition, it's an interesting topic to think about this, the calendar. And I would think of it even more broadly, or maybe even at a macro level, and to think about just kind of how we think about timing one's education. And it is kind of peculiar. Now, the great thing about a gap of a time, like, for example, 3 months over the summer or whatnot off, is it opens up opportunities for other learning experiences. For example, if you want to study abroad but not during a semester, if you're an undergraduate, if you want to do an internship, if you want to have a summer job just to get some kind of experience, there are opportunities for that. But people have been raising the question of, given the fact that we don't need people in the farms like we used to, at least these, you know, students or the vast majority of them, should an undergraduate experience, or maybe even at lower levels, you know, primary and secondary, should those be 12-month experiences? You know, we just stay in school. Would you graduate faster? Ideally, if it's just a matter of courses, then the answer is yes, you would then graduate in a shorter amount of time. The interesting question that I would wonder about is how much of it is the content, and we talked a lot about how people forget content, and how much of it is a growth experience. So maybe if you were able to condense one's, say, undergraduate education to 2 or 3 years, which a lot of students who are just doing the checklist mentality, I just want a diploma and get out, they would love that. How impactful would that be, and how much would we lose if we didn't have that 4-year sustained opportunity to practice habits of thinking, habits of creativity, habits of making connections and whatnot? It's a thought-provoking question, which I think about a lot in my role as president, but I think it really is a question that we as a nation need to think about. Why is education timed the way it is, and is there a better way of doing it? Maybe, for example, instead of summer, maybe we push through summer, but then in the wintertime or in the springtime, they take off.
Well, and aren't there high schools in some places around the country that for years have shifted to year-round school where they might have longer breaks of 2 or 3 weeks spaced throughout the school year, but they mm-hmm. don't have that summer chunk
That's right.
It's a more sustained experience.
That's right. And it's funny that you use the word sustained, because especially at younger ages, it might actually be more effective in that they carry the content with them a little bit longer. But of course, that's actually, as I think about it, it's true actually with the undergraduates. When I teach, you know, Calculus 2 in the first semester, you know, back when I was, you know, teaching full time, boy, you know, it was like they never heard of Calculus 1 because the summer had passed them by and it erased. It's like erasing your hard drive.
Well, so I'm thinking we're talking about this from the point of view of students, but let's flip it for a second. And you're a teacher, you're mm-hmm. a mathematician.
Thank you.
What about from the point of view of teachers and professors, though? Does that longer summer break have value for them, either time for, you know, them to enrich their own education, additional training, or just take a breather, or maybe teach summer school at another institution? I mean, is there something about that calendar, though, that works better for teachers?
Right. Well, certainly if you're teaching at a different institution, then you are teaching. So that's the 12-month model. But a lot of educators use the summer as a time for professional development. So I have led many, many workshops at all grade levels, from, you know, from elementary all the way through, you know, college, working with instructors. And that's an opportunity for them. A lot of enrichment happens. But at places like Southwestern University, where we really embrace the teacher-scholar model, that is really the time where my faculty get to engage in their scholarship and their creative works and their research. And so if you were to go to, say, a 12-month model, you'd have to really think about, at institutions like Southwestern, where you really do embrace the teacher-scholar model, would you need shifts? I mean, for example, maybe an individual teacher would only teach two semesters, but then they have a semester off. It might not be the summer, but it might be, you know, the fall or something, where they can actually get some work done. And that is a very important question that would have to be taken up if you really were to consider this in earnest. I was thinking more about the philosophical elements from the student point of view. And actually, if you allow me at some point, I want to say something about just the classroom schedule as well.
Well, all right. Let's hold on to that thought for just a moment. Sure. Because one schedule I will not monkey with is our puzzler schedule.
Ooh.
You need to introduce
yes.
a new
Someone
puzzler.
Sent me a good one. I have to admit, our audience is quite good at sending me ones that I have not seen myself.
Oh, good. Yeah, they're totally stepping up. So
they
all
are
right.
stepping up, and I appreciate it, by
now,
the way.
Now, you see these, and I don't see them. So I'm
Correct.
Seeing, I'm hearing this for the first time right
That's
now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they reach out to me. These. I guess the topics, they reach out to you,
uh-huh.
and then somehow they find me. So here is one that was called to our attention. So you're working in a fruit factory.
A fruit factory.
Yeah, and there are three crates in front of you. Three very large crates.
Okay, I'm drawing my crates.
There you go. Yeah, you are.
There they are.
Well, they look kind of pathetic. They look like squares, but okay. Now, one crate contains only apples.
Okay.
One crate contains only oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third crate contains both apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And each crate is labeled. And so one crate reads apples, one crate reads oranges, and one crate reads apples and oranges.
Okay.
Okay? But here's what you found out. You found out that the label machine that put these labels on these huge crates went all out of sync, all out of whack. And so, in fact, you know that all of the boxes are labeled incorrectly.
Okay, all three are
labeled incorrectly. All three are labeled incorrectly. You don't know how or why, but
okay.
they're all labeled incorrectly. So you've got one with apples, one with oranges, and one with apples and oranges, and the labels are all wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay, got
it. So now, here is the challenge.
Okay.
If you just open one of the crates and reach in without looking,
yes.
and grab just one fruit,
yes.
and you see what that fruit is, can you now label all the crates correctly? So, again, you have three crates.
Yes.
One contains apples, one contains oranges, and one contains apples and oranges, and they're each labeled as such, but all the labels are wrong. You open up one crate, you just reach in, you can't look in, you just reach in, you grab out one piece of fruit, you take a look at that piece of fruit, and just with that one piece of fruit, can you figure out how to label all of the crates now correctly? And that is today's puzzler.
Okay. Well, my little crate diagram didn't help a whole lot.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
But it
Our
but
listeners
it did
should know that what
thinking.
Happened was you actually went off the diagram and you started looking in the air. So apparently apples and oranges live above your head.
Well,
because
in
that's
my
where
world,
you were.
They're in the trees, okay?
Oh,
the trees,
good for
right?
you. How
okay.
brilliant is that? Nice.
All right. So,
well
so,
done.
All right. So ponder that, apples and oranges, and we will
yes.
get the solution to that in the next episode. But I want to get back to your question about sort of structure in the classroom and timing
now,
in the classroom.
This I think about a lot, and I uh-huh. find this even more thought-provoking than thinking about the global calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. How are classes taught these days? I'll just think at the kind of collegiate level, but this is also true, of course, across the board at all levels, essentially, which is, you know, you meet several times a week for either an hour, 50 minutes, you know, maybe three times a week, or two times a week, like a Tuesday, Thursday class for like an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, okay? That's the traditional template. So let's just take the three times a week for 50 minutes. So like, you know, these are called hour classes. Now, do we honestly believe that the attention span and focus of our students in that first 5 minutes of class is identical to the attention and focus of the last 5 minutes of class?
No. My guess would be if you graphed it, you would have high attention at the beginning and then down, 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 and then it'd probably shoot back up like the last couple of minutes because
they're staring at the bell.
They're getting ready to go.
But the attention is of the
but
bell, not the
thing. If you took like, you know, grabbed 4 minutes here or there, it wouldn't be the same as at the beginning because you're probably losing them over
and
the course of time.
And you are absolutely correct, and everyone acknowledges that. In fact, when I ask this to educators, they actually laugh at the idea that somehow the last 5 minutes, and yet we still teach that way. And if you think about it, if we know there's a problem, a profound problem, I would argue, the question is, what are we doing about it? So one idea I had many, many years ago was to experiment with shorter classes. So instead of maybe that hour class with me on Monday, maybe I meet with you 3 times that day for 20 minutes each. So we get together and you do calculus for 20 minutes. Then you run off and do philosophy for 20 minutes. Then you run off and do biology for 20 minutes. Then you come back to calculus and do that for another 20 minutes. And you maybe circulate throughout the day. So it's the same length of time. But now you're kind of mixing it up with other ideas, giving your mind to kind of mull over some of these things, almost marinate some of these ideas, and then come back to it. Now, I'm not proposing that this is an effective way of teaching. But I am suggesting that we, as a community in education, we are not thinking about how to tackle the reality of that. And I think that we need to be thinking about the experience that the students have on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour basis to make education that much more impactful at all levels.
Well, and it seems to me, just as we wrap up here, that shorter spurts, if you will, I'm thinking now about all the technology that students have access to that did not exist, say, when you and I were in school.
And that's right.
They're in and out of topics all the time. They're on and off websites. They're on and off Twitter. They're on and off Facebook. There's new stuff showing up in their feeds and their timelines all the time. And so I think attention spans and sort of learning attention to that are continuing to shrink, or at least
exactly.
People are hopping around from source to source more quickly and more often.
And if we want to truly move people, then we have to acknowledge that reality and meet them where they are. And one last thing, when you mentioned technology, I mean, I have all these 4,000 math videos out there, but there's lots of technology out there. And you can imagine this flipped classroom model where they maybe even watch some technology or watch some videos or do some stuff before they come to class. So when they come to class, they're not just starting at kind of a zero level, but really they have a slight sense of the material or have a little bit informed, and then the conversation can be richer. And then maybe after that 20-minute period, say, then you leave a cliffhanger. Okay, this is a really good point, you know, Jennifer. Now, when we come back, I want people to think about Jennifer's comment and how you would react to it thoughtfully. And then you go away for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, then you come on back. So, I mean, it sounds weird when you first think about it, and I'm not suggesting that it's a good idea or that's an idea for all subjects, but I am suggesting that we need to rethink how we move people, given the reality of how people respond to this way of education.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us keep our brains sharp and helping us think about education. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.